Chapter 27 Isaac. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Genesis 25, verse 5. Isaac is presented to us in the Scriptures both as a type of Christ and as a type of the believer in this world. In Genesis 22, Isaac represents Christ in yielding himself up as a voluntary sacrifice to God upon the altar. He also represents God's elect, for whom the Lord God provided a lamb of sacrifice, even his own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a substitute to die in our place under the wrath of God. In Genesis 24, Isaac is a picture of Christ for whom an appointed bride is sought. Christ is our bridegroom. God's elect people are his bride, the church, sought out from among men by the preaching of the gospel. Isaac is also a picture of a believer waiting upon God to give him his chosen bride, the lifelong companion of God's choice from among his own people. Again, in Genesis 25, Isaac stands before us as a type both of Christ and the believer. From Genesis chapter 25, verse 5, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac." Without question, this text speaks of Abraham's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God hath appointed heir of all things. Yet, the text also speaks of all who are the sons of God by electing love, adopting grace, and saving faith. Like Isaac, God's elect are possessors of all the wealth and privileges of the Father's house. As Isaac represents our sonship and our privileges as heirs of God, so he also represents our heavenly calling. Canaan represents both the believer's life of faith in this world and the heavenly glory and rest that awaits him. Isaac is never seen anywhere except in the land of Canaan. Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph all left the land, at least for a season, but Isaac never did. Every time you see Isaac, he is in the land of Canaan, and so too the believer is always in the grace of God, the land of rest. We often fall, but the believer never leaves the land of grace and is never expelled from it. Our conversation is in heaven. God's elect are a people who have been called with a heavenly calling, and they live accordingly. Yet, as we have seen, the believer's life is a life of trial, conflict, and struggle. Isaac illustrates that too. Though he lived in the land of Canaan like us, Isaac had a war to wage against the world, the flesh, and the devil. That war is recorded in Genesis 26. Isaac was preeminently the man of the well. His life revolved around five wells. These five wells are specifically named because they stand as types of the experiences of every believer in this world. Here are five wells from which all believers drink. The well called Laharoi means "the living one who sees me." What joy and comfort we have in the midst of our trials when we realize that He who is the living God has His eye upon us at all times. 2. Esek. In this world, every child of God lives in unceasing strife, strife from the world without and from his own flesh within. 3. Sitna. It means hatred. It may well represent the world's hatred for Christ and his people. Rehoboth means spaciousness and abundance. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the fifth well, Sheba, means good fortune. All things are ours in Christ, and all things work together for our good in him and by him. The first thing we are told about Isaac after his redemption, which stands as a type, is this: Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi. This well is intended to draw our attention to God the Holy Spirit and His gracious operations in the hearts of men. In God's works of grace, election is followed by predestination. Predestination is followed by redemption, and redemption is followed by regeneration. Redemption is portrayed in Isaac on Mount Moriah. The sure result of redemption is regeneration, the washing of the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Scriptures, the Holy Spirit is symbolized by a dove, by oil, and by water. As Isaac's well was a well of springing water, living water, so the Holy Spirit springs up in the hearts of God's elect as a well of living water. As water is necessary for all natural life, so the living water, the Spirit of God operating through the Word, is necessary for our spiritual life. Without water, any plant will wither and die, even if it has the best food packed around its roots. So too, without the operations of God, the Holy Spirit, in our hearts, we would wither and die. We must have the food of gospel doctrine. But doctrine alone is not enough. We must have the living Spirit of Christ. Like Isaac, God's saints are people of the will, people who live and walk in the Spirit. Isaac's experiences provide us with some very important lessons about ourselves, about the life of faith, and about the grace of God. The first well with which Isaac was associated was Lehi-roi, the well of the Living One who sees me. That well represents the unfailing care of our ever-living, ever-present God. At the well Lehi-roi, Isaac dwelt in the presence of God. Where can we find such a well today? Where is the Living One who sees me to be found? The well of Lehi-roi is the house of God, where His Word is opened, His ordinances are kept, His praises are sung, and His presence is promised. The first thing we see in the life of Isaac is the blessedness of worshiping the living God. As long as Isaac dwelt at Lehi-roi, all was well. His trouble did not begin until he left the place of God's manifest presence, Lehi-roi. The same is true of us. The assembled church of God is the house and temple of God. God promises His presence in His house, where Christ is found at the mercy seat. The church of God is the believer's home. It's the place of refreshing, refuge, safety, and instruction. Those who engage in religious rituals make too much of mere attendance at the house of God. They make worship idolatry. However, most people make far too little of public worship. The local church, a true gospel church, is the place from which God sends out His Word, and the place where He pours out His blessings upon His people. I am sure that Isaac often wished he had never left Lehi-roi, the well of the Living One who sees me. But he did. When a time of famine came, Isaac departed from Lehi-roi and went down to the land of Philistines in Gerar. Here is a sad but common picture. When Isaac was in a difficult situation, instead of continuing in his presence of God at Lehi-roi, instead of abiding in the worship of God, he worked out a scheme to improve his circumstances, but his cunning cost him dearly. Obviously, Isaac was on his way down to Egypt, but God intervened and stopped him. God's saints in this world, all of them, are sinners still, sinners kept and preserved by the power and grace of God in Christ. Verses 3 through 5 show us this. God's blessing of grace, they do not depend upon our obedience. Our obedience depends upon God's blessings of grace. Next we read, "And Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Gerar was the borderland, midway between Canaan and Egypt. God told Isaac to sojourn in this land, but Isaac dwelt there for a long time. In Gerar, Isaac is a believer who has lost the blessed joy of communion with God by his unbelief. This is ever the consequence of unbelief. Unbelief is the cause of disobedience to God, and disobedience breaks communion. Unbelief caused Isaac to leave Lahairoi. It caused him to dwell in Gerar and to lie to his neighbors. Horrible as Isaac's actions were, when we consider what he was prepared to do, we have to see that what Isaac was, we are. There is nothing we shall not do if God leaves us to ourselves, even for a moment. Let saved sinners ever rejoice and give thanks to God for his faithfulness. Those who do not understand the character of God and the sovereignty of his grace have a very difficult time understanding these verses. They say, "How could God bless Isaac so when he was behaving in such a manner?" The blessings of God upon Isaac were unconditional covenant blessings. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Our God rules and overrules all things, sovereignly making all things work together for the good of his elect, even our miserable failures. God is faithful. Because Isaac would not leave Gerar, God arranged to have him cast out of the land. When Isaac was cast out into a dry valley, God sweetly forced him to dig again the wells of water which he had dug with his father Abraham. When God's providence appeared to turn against him, it was working for him, bringing him again to the wells of living water. In verses 19 through 22, we are taught what it is to live by faith. Instead of standing up for his rights and contending for himself against his enemies, Isaac chose the path of peace, trusting God to provide for him. True faith makes men and women content and peaceful in the midst of difficulty. Nothing was at stake but water, and he could easily get more. It was not God's truth, his glory, or the welfare of his people that were at stake. The only thing at stake here was water. It was not worth needless aggravation. God brought Isaac to Beersheba, the well of good fortune. Beersheba was also the well of the oath. Look what happened when Isaac returned to the place of his oath and allegiance to God. He found good fortune indeed. On the very night that Isaac returned to Beersheba, the Lord appeared unto him, and there Isaac built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. He came back to the house of God, the place of worship and the place of sacrifice. There, at Beersheba, he found water, life refreshing, cleansing, reviving, soul-cheering water. Isaac pitched his tent at Beersheba to dwell in the presence of God. There God made Isaac's enemies to be at peace with him. In verses 34 and 35, we see the sad consequence of Isaac's disobedience. May God give us grace and wisdom to learn by his grief. It is true that the Lord God forgave Isaac for his sin and even overruled his sin to do him good. Yet Isaac saw and felt the grief of his own disobedience in his son Esau, who married a Hittite. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As Isaac went down to the world for help in time of famine, Esau, following his father's example, went down to the world to find himself a bride, and Esau never knew God. This was a grief to Isaac, but it was, in great measure, a grief he brought upon himself by disobedience to the will of God. When he should have been careful, Isaac was careless, and it brought grief to his soul. It always does. Here is a note from Pastor Fortner with regard to chapter 27. Our sons and daughters are far more likely to imitate our vices than our virtues. Be careful how you live before them.